You are listening to Radio Ramadan 365 Podcasts.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma faqqina fi d-deen wa 'allimna ta'wil warzuqna al-'amala bima nata'allam warzuqna al-ikhlasa fil qawli wal 'amal. واجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Respected brothers and sisters, listeners, welcome to the Sira Show, broadcasted live on 87.7 FM on Radio Ramadan. And also being streamed live on Radio Ramadan.scot, a series in Ramadan 2024, 1445 after Hijrah, where we will be discussing key moments from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And up until now, in our last session, we discussed the Hijrah, the blessed migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwar, and we discussed the surroundings or the context of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migration, how Makkah was no longer a safe location for him and the rest of the Sahaba, and Makkah was no longer tolerable, and Makkah was no longer an opportunity, there was no longer an opportunity to establish a Muslim state or Islamic base at the city of Makkah Mukarramah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was then divinely inspired to migrate or begin his migration to Medina Munawwara. And this happened through many different stages, many different barriers took place. In the first incident of the 11th year after Hijrah were six people, blessed people, from the blessed city of Medina Munawwara accepted Islam. And then in the 12th and 13th year after Hijrah, you have the two famous bay'ah, Bay'atul Aqaba al-Ula and Thaniya. The first and the second bay'ah, a pledge of allegiance given in Aqaba or Masjid al-Bay'ah, which is next to Mina. And so the Prophet ﷺ then began his Hijrah journey, and along the way different events took place. We have the event of the Prophet ﷺ taking refuge in the Cave of Thawr. You have the Prophet ﷺ beginning his migration, or formally making his migration, and also the Prophet ﷺ accompanying numerous companions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being accompanied with four individuals. You have Abu Bakr, or in a group of four, sorry, three under individuals. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with him was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, with him was Abdullah ibn Uriqit, who was the guide, and Amir ibn Fuhayra was a khadim, somebody who was helping them along the route. He was a freed slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so during this Hijrah journey, numerous events took place. You have the incident of the tent of Umm Ma'bad. Likewise, you also have the story or the incident with Suraq ibn Malik. And so like this, you have several different instances involving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly and his Hijrah journey. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued this Hijrah journey, and then he made his way to Medina Munawwara. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entering Medina Munawwara, the people began to make his Hijrah journey, and news reached Medina of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam beginning his Hijrah journey. The people of Medina began to come out to the south of Medina, ready to greet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they came all the way to the south of Medina, ready to greet and welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they waited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they waited and waited and waited. They would regularly wait up until the sun would get too hot and the heat of the morning sun would intensify, and they would retreat back to their homes taking refuge. And this happened for an extended period of time, up until the point where they began to get worried and they began to get a little bit despondent, wondering about or being concerned about the safety of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and when he would actually arrive. And so it was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had witnessed such that the very first person from the inhabitants of Medina to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from far away was a Jewish woman. And what happened was, it was at a time where the people of Medina, the Muslims of Medina, had retreated back to their homes because it was exceptionally warm. And this Jewish woman saw the Prophet from far away, and she called out to the Arabs and the Muslims, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, Ya Bani Qila, Hadha Hadhukum, or Hadha Jaddukum, in one riwayah. That this is the person, this is your person that you've been waiting for, your source of blessings, your main person that you're waiting for. He's here. And so the Sahaba radiallahu anhum then went to greet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this took place in the village of Bani Amr ibn Auf. And likewise, I want to add another point, and that is that along the route of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hijrah journey, there was numerous locations where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed salah. Amongst them was the location Bani Jahjaba, amongst Bani Unayf. These mosques are still, or these locations are still exist. If you go on our Instagram page and social media page of Prophetic Footsteps, you'll be able to see numerous videos of these key historic locations from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so now, going back to our point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has then now arrived in Bani Amr ibn Auf, which is a southern tribe of Medina Munawwara. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then is welcomed by the Sahaba, and this is on a Monday, and this takes place in the Rabi'. And we know that later on, what happened was decades later, during the Khilafah Umar radiallahu anhu, when he gathered the companions and they began to decide or point, began to fix a calendar for the Muslims, they chose the Hijrah as the key point, as the Hijrah as the center point of measuring the years. There were numerous suggestions that was given, the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu rejected this because it resembled the ways of the Christians. Likewise, then somebody suggested the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, Umar radiallahu anhu rejected this because it was something that was an exceptional sad moment. And he came with the Sahaba, he came to the conclusion, and there was an ijma' that the center of the calendar, the basis of the calendar, would be the Hijrah. And this is because of the significance of this Hijrah, that it demonstrates the point where Muslims began to have their own unique identity. And it highlights the point where Muslims would have their own state. And that it was a moment where Muslims would announce the word to the world, the difference between Haqq and Batil. And it was an opportunity for the Muslims to establish Haqq. And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did when he arrived in Medina Munawwara. And that was when he arrived in Medina Munawwara and he was hosted by numerous companions. Kulthum bin Hadam, who was one of the chief of the tribe, hosted the Prophet ﷺ. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ also spent some time resting in the house of Sa'd ibn Khaytham. And these two houses are formed within the modern-day courtyard of Masjid Quba. And it was during this period on a Monday, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed over here from Monday till a Friday. Some historians were of the opinion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed over here up until Friday of that week. Other historians were of the opinion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed on Friday of the following week, 4 to 11 days approximately. And so during this period, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established this masjid, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established this masjid, and he established this first masjid over here. This is referred to as Masjid Quba, and is referenced in the Quran and praise in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referenced this masjid as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises this masjid as Masjidun Ussisa ala Taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references in the Quran, says La Masjidun Ussisa ala Taqwa, right? And his foundation is laid upon Taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourage and praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for praying, or encourage the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray salah in it, and he encouraged others to pray salah in it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the people of this tribe. And specifically, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised the people of this tribe due to their cleanliness. And that was when the verses of the Qawm revealed praising these people because of the cleanliness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired, and the people of this tribe responded saying that it was due to them using, when they would relieve themselves, and they would not only use whatever means they had, like rocks, etc., or leaves, they would also use water. And this was an emphasis on them cleaning themselves. And so this is something which the Prophet ﷺ liked and praised them for, and particularly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, far greater than this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran praises them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this level of cleanliness, and that so much so that He is pleased with our cleanliness. Ameen. And so the Prophet ﷺ established his masjid, and he literally, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own blessed hands, lays down the foundation of this masjid. He literally places the rocks. He would carry the rocks and place the rocks down. According to some narrations, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu would also carry the rocks as well. They would take it, they would, one on the right, one on the left. They would place the rocks in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he laid the foundations. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established his masjid, and he began to pray salah. And he prayed salah there, leading the Muslims in congregation. Thereafter, after this, he continued his hijrah journey towards a more central area of Medina, or what we know to be the modern day central area of Medina Munawwara, what we know to be the tribe of Bani Najjar. And it wasn't something that the Prophet ﷺ directly had intended. Yes, he had inclination to this tribe, because if you recall back to a few sessions ago when we discussed the Prophet ﷺ having relatives in Medina Munawwara, and the Prophet ﷺ having relatives in Medina Munawwara, i.e. the tribe of Bani Najjar, who were the Prophet ﷺ's great, who were the akhwal, the maternal side of the Prophet ﷺ's grandfather. Right, and so the Prophet ﷺ, and it's reported according to some that Najjar was the mama or the mamu or the khal of Abdul Muttalib. So Prophet ﷺ's great grandmother's brother was the head of this tribe, Bani Najjar. And from him the tribe got its name. Wallahu alam. And so the Prophet ﷺ began to go towards the northern area. And people would obviously encourage the Prophet ﷺ to stay with him. And so they began to pull on the reins of the Prophet ﷺ. Come on. And so the Prophet ﷺ discouraged people from doing so, because obviously, naturally, people wanted the Prophet ﷺ to stay with him. And so they began to call it, Halumma ila al-Rakha, Halumma ila al-Adad wal-Udda, come with us, come with us, come stay with us. And so now what happened? The Prophet ﷺ then said to them, Da'uha fa'inna ma'amura, leave the camel, because the camel has been commanded to go to a specific place. And so the Prophet ﷺ headed to follow the camel, and he never held onto the reins of the camel at this point now, so that everyone could see that it was the camel making the decision and it wasn't the Prophet ﷺ directly. And so what happened now, the camel stopped in an area just in front of the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. And so what happened was, when the camel stopped over here, people began to call the Prophet ﷺ to him. And so now, as the Prophet ﷺ is surrounded with people, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, Khalid bin Yazid, then approaches the Prophet's camel, takes the goods into his own hand, into his own home. And then it was then when the Prophet turned around and he saw his camel empty, he inquired as to the whereabouts of his goods, his possessions that he had. And the Sahaba informed the Prophet that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari has taken these goods. And the Prophet said, Al-mar'u ma'a rahilati, a person is with their ride. And so the Prophet ﷺ then chose to stay at Abu Ayyub al-Ansari's house, and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was the one who was honored with this blessed khidmah. And so now, if you look at one thing that's mentioned over here, and I'll highlight this point regarding the etiquette of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. It's mentioned that when Prophet ﷺ stayed in his house, initially he offered the Prophet ﷺ the roof, and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was to stay on the ground. And out of respect and honor, it was like a guest house type thing, a guest room. But because the Prophet ﷺ realized that he would have a lot of guests coming to visit him, he encouraged the Prophet ﷺ himself, volunteered, and encouraged for him to stay in the ground floor. And so what happened was, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari's wife would stay in the nicer area of the house, which was on the first floor. And at that time, many of the houses were only one floor, but certain bigger houses had actually two floors, the ground and the first floor. And we say the word house, we mean this term loosely. Yep. The term loosely, as actually, in fact, they were mainly like basic rooms, and maybe had a small courtyard, a small area, maybe some trees, that kind of thing. And according to some historians, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu actually had a well in the vicinity of his house. Wallahu alam. And so one of the things that's mentioned regarding the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari was that, according to some historians, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari's forefathers were from the descendants of Yusuf al-Islam. But nonetheless, they say that some of the forefathers of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and many of the companions were from the ulama of Tubba, who was a Yemeni king that had passed through Medina Munawwara. And he had with him these great scholars, Jewish scholars and people of scriptures. And when they saw Medina Munawwara, they immediately realized that this would be the final place where the final prophet would come, and he would migrate to. And so they took leave from the king to stay there. And so 40 of these scholars from the people of Tubba stayed in Medina Munawwara. And according to some historians, it was Tubba himself. According to others, it was from Abu Ayyub al-Ansari's forefathers themselves. They bequeathed a house or accommodation to go to the final prophet. And that was the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari's forefathers were the ones who actually planned asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and planned for the final prophet to come to them and to stay within his household. And so that's exactly what happened. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many decades later, maybe centuries later, who knows how long, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam honored the family of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, and he gave them the honor of hosting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so now many different individuals, as the Prophet ﷺ staying over here, one of the things the Prophet ﷺ does is he sees there's an empty plot of land near this area, and he inquires about this land, and they point out that it's two orphans that own this land. And so Prophet ﷺ then says that he's going to buy the land, give a price. Now these orphans, they say no, they're going to give it to Allah and His Messenger, they're going to give it for free. But the Prophet ﷺ said no. And the reason he said no was he wanted to ensure that, he didn't want to take advantage of these orphans. And so Prophet ﷺ agreed a price to buy the land. And that was approximately 10 dinars, 10 gold coins. And so the Prophet ﷺ never had money at this point. And so it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the one who gave the money. Subhanallah, look at how much reward Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is going to get. Any salah in Masjid Nabi is greater than at least 1,000. Subhanallah, look at how much reward Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is getting, because he is the modern day masjid. And if you think about the millions of people performing salah over here, they are all part of the Isal al-Thawab of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. Such is the greatness of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to become just like him and give us the ability to establish masajid throughout the whole world. And so now people began to, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam buys the land, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins to establish the masjid. The masjid is very simple. The masjid is made out of date palm trees and very basic mud bricks, and only a portion of the masjid has a roof, the northern part and the southern part. And the masjid is very small, right? Very small, approximately 10, 20, 30, 40 meters each way. Very small. And modern day time, there's actually an exhibition of the masjid showing how big the masjid was. Likewise, on the Prophetic Footsteps Instagram page, you can actually see models of the original masjid from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so now, the masjid has been established. And so with this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins or commissions the building of hujurat, chambers, rooms, houses for him and his wives. And so at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has initially two houses are built. One for his wife Sauda bint Zama' radiallahu anha, and additionally we also have the house that was used for Aisha radiallahu anha, which is directly underneath the Green Dome, the famous Blessed Green Dome. Just on a side note, many people don't realize the Green Dome was never actually originally green, and the Green Dome is a relatively new phenomenon, right? It was actually only painted green in the year 1837, and prior to this it was a different color. Likewise, additionally, the ghilaf of the Kaaba was not always black. Yes, it's been black for several centuries, but prior to this, it was numerous different colors. And so, the Prophet ﷺ has established the masjid, and he's established the Hujrat Mubarak, the blessed chambers, where he's going to reside. One of the things the Prophet ﷺ does at this moment now is he begins to greet and make different people that come to visit him. And amongst the people that come to the Prophet ﷺ are numerous Jewish people. Because Medina at that time had a population of Jews, or a sizable and numerous population of Jews, and there are actually several tribes of Jewish ethnicity and Jewish beliefs. And so many of them had come to greet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see if he truly was a prophet, to test him, and an opportunity for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to meet them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them dawah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave numerous opportunities, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave on numerous occasions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them da'wah. And there was a very famous event with Abdullah ibn Salam, who was originally a rabbi from the Jews and somebody who's exceptionally learned. He met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he immediately accepted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger, and he immediately accepted Islam. Because as soon as I saw his face, I realized that he was not a liar. Such was our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to see our blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dunya and in the akhirah. In the akhirah, yes. In Jannah, on the Day of Judgment, in the Hawd, in Kawthar, in Jannah. And ask Allah to grant us a house next to the Prophet ﷺ as his neighbors, right next to him. Ameen. Don't think small when it comes to making du'as. And one of the du'as that we should always make is companionship of the Prophet ﷺ. This is something that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu wanted, and they begged him, and they begged him to make du'a for. Rather, they emphatically asked the Prophet ﷺ to make such a du'a. And so we should make that du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, how do we say to see the Prophet ﷺ in the dunya? In our dreams. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever sees me in my dream has truly seen me. So we ask the Prophet ﷺ to bless us. Or do we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sorry. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with seeing the Prophet ﷺ in our dream. in our dreams. And so now numerous companions or numerous individuals approach the Prophet ﷺ, they accept Islam. Very famously, you have people like Salman al-Farsi who accepted Islam, Abdullah ibn Salam, and numerous other people. And therein after this, one of the things the Prophet ﷺ does is that he begins the concept of mu'akhat, of establishing brothers between the Ansar and the Muhajirin. And so, yes, mu'akhat is famously known as the mu'akhat, the joining of brotherhood between the Ansar and Muhajirin. But what many people do not realize is that the concept of mu'akhat, of brotherhood, also began in Mecca, where the Prophet ﷺ actually appointed brothers from the Muhajirin from within themselves. And then when it took place again, when the Prophet ﷺ had migrated to Medina Munawwara. And so now, one of the earlier things that took place after the Prophet ﷺ established the masjid was the concept of adhan. And so the Prophet ﷺ then, because five salah had become fard, and so we needed a way for Muslims to become aware of prayer. And so now, the Prophet ﷺ consulted his companions and they gave ideas. One of them suggested a bell. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, it resembles the people of other religions. Another person suggested a fire to light it up during prayer time so people could see. The Prophet ﷺ rejected it and said, no, it resembles the Zoroastrians. It resembles the Zoroastrians and their fire worshipping. And so he said no. And it was during this period of fikr, the Sahaba went back into their homes and they began to think what to do. But one companion, Abdullah ibn Zayd, saw a dream. And in his dream, he sees a man dressed in green apparel, holding a bell. And so Abdullah ibn Zayd asked him, can I have this? And the man asked, in his dream says to him, what do you want to do with this? He says, I'm going to use it to call the people for salah. And the man in his dream says, should I not tell you something far better? And he said, of course, what is it? And then he said, repeat after me the following words, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, Hayya al-Salah, Hayya al-Salah, Hayya al-Falah, Hayya al-Falah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then he repeated the same thing with, as the Iqamah of Qad Qamat al-Salah. And then Abdullah ibn Zayd immediately informs the Prophet ﷺ in his dreams. And then the Prophet ﷺ says that this is a truthful dream, inshallah. And then the Prophet ﷺ instructs Bilal radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Zayd to inform or to teach Bilal radiallahu anhu this adhan and the iqamah. And he says Bilal radiallahu anhu's voice was far louder. And so Bilal radiallahu anhu is more appropriate for him to be the muadhin. And so Bilal radiallahu anhu gave the adhan. And so when Bilal radiallahu anhu gave the adhan in Masjid Nabi for the very first time, Umar radiallahu anhu hears this. And he says, this is the exact same dream. This is very truth. This is the truth. I have seen something similar to this in my dream, i.e. the adhan. Umar radiallahu anhu was also given inspiration of ilham of this adhan as well. And so with this, one of the things the Prophet ﷺ did next was to arrange a treaty with the Jews, with the Jewish population of Medina Munawwara. And so with this, we end our current session. Thank you very much for listening to this session, which is the Seerah Show on Radio Ramadan, broadcasted live on 87.7 FM and on Radio Ramadan.scot. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten us with the Seerah, to grant us beneficial knowledge, and to allow us to spread knowledge of the Seerah throughout the whole world. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.